Coming up next on the Weekly Pass, we've got Dez Bryant news, we've got NBA playoffs, Manny Pacquiao, and our guest, David Aldridge from TNT. All that and more coming up next.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome to the Weekly Pass. No music intro, but we are here again. New time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great.
New hour, but fabulous time, right?
Fabulous time.
So nice. Energized. Mm-hmm. I'm Bonnie Jo Laughlin, your host, and you can catch me at BJ Laughlin on Twitter and at Bonnie Jo on Instagram and Facebook. And we are joined by my co-host and a new guest co-host.
Hi.
David,
there.
Say hello to everyone.
Hi. I'm David Bloom. That's my last name. You can find me at David H. Bloom on both Instagram and Twitter. That's my name. Look how convenient.
Yes.
And you're an NBA guru, right?
Oh, for sure. I have been a Clippers fan for probably 17 years.
I'm sorry?
17 years old? Yeah.
It's, oh, boy.
We've been through it all.
But you're loyal, so I appreciate
it's
that.
It's about the loyalty.
So good.
Yeah,
No playoffs this year.
Yeah. But we've had our fortunes. We'll take the two lotteries.
It's weird. No playoffs for Lakers or Clippers this year.
It feels weird. No LA teams in the playoffs.
Very weird.
But we got playoffs in hockey.
And we've got...
We do.
Becky.
What's up, guys? I'm Becky Sotero. You can find me on all social media at Becky Sotero. I want to jump in. Thank you so much for joining us on the live chat. And if you don't follow us on Twitter, shame on you. Join us now at BJL Weekly Pass.
Yes.
Yay.
So much going on.
Lots.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin because there's so much going on. But let's first start with my poor Cowboys.
I know.
Poor Cowboys.
I almost brought tissues for you.
Oh, I was in mourning. I'll be completely honest. I was in mourning. I'm friends with Dez, so that was also very kind of, tough. He's done so much help with my charity, Hounds and Heroes, helping with Wounded Warriors and spending time with them. And, I'm not talking about whether you're a Cowboys fan or not, but you have to appreciate someone that helps with charity.
And, good guy.
Yeah, good guy. I know he's had some off-the-field problems, but I love his heart. I love his passion. And I know he hasn't contributed like the Cowboys wanted to. And Michael Irvin told me, who's a friend of the show, that there was a little bit of, fire from Dez with fighting kind of back and forth and even fighting with the people that were trying to keep him there. And they just kind of were like, all right, you're not getting the numbers that we want. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's so much animosity. Let's just all move on and move forward.
Well, and $16.5 million is a pretty deep pocket, too.
Right.
It is a lot.
And it's tough, because you always think, okay, well, the Cowboys, that's the number one receiver that you're getting rid of, So what now? You start to think, okay, well, Odell Beckham Jr. So what happens? Are the Giants going to get rid of him? And then that's when the magic comes and the Giants are like, okay, well, we're done
with that situation. He wants to stay in NFC, right? NFC East. He wants to stay.
Dez?
Yes.
Yes. And he wants to because he wants revenge on Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, so he plays them two times a year being in the same division. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Sources are saying that the Ravens are
showing
the most interest. And it's funny, though, because, they've already signed Michael Crabtree and John Brown, to improve their receiving core. And so adding Dez Bryant would be complete, and that would be...
It would help that team so much, but...
And it would really help with, Flacco has three amazing targets.
But the thing is, I feel like Dez as a player would want to go to a team that has a quarterback that can do things, and I think one of the reasons why he wasn't producing was... Because he's an amazing player. Like, he's brings such an intensity to the game, like the Cowboys have done. That's kind of like... their thing is the intensity. But with a guy like Dak, whose main weapon is his running back, Zeke's going to be back, and his own feet, it wouldn't work.
Right.
And I don't think Flacco is an elite enough quarterback for Dez to want
to go there.
You
know where I think he fits the best? The 49ers.
Yeah, ooh.
49ers.
With Jimmy G.
Why is that?
I thought about that.
Yeah, with Garoppolo, having that quarterback, and if you see the Niners... Pierre Garçon, they're improving. And you got to see, they need that real big number one target.
Sure.
And think about it, Jimmy G he'll air it out.
He
will definitely make sure that Dez gets all the touches and gets these catches that he needs. I think it's a great fit. And Dez wants to go to a team that can be competitive.
Yes,
He doesn't want to just go somewhere to get the money and play. People are saying, "Oh, the Redskins." No, he doesn't want to go to the Redskins.
No.
He wants to go to a team, whether it's in his division or not. He still wants a team that can be competitive and that can take him to the playoffs and hopefully to,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. The big dance at some point. So
he could be a shining star on those teams, though. Too,
he really could. Know? He would be utilized by a team with a better quarterback mm-hmm. more than he would where he was on the Cowboys.
Sure.
And see, so Bryant was owed $12.5 million in the last 2 years with $16.5 million salary cap
yep.
both times. So that release gives the Cowboys about $8.5 right. million. To play
he
with.
He just has so much left in the tank, though. I mean, I feel like no matter what.
So much.
But I guess I want to know, what do you think it came down to for the Cowboys? Just they don't feel like he was producing numbers.
Right, and I don't think kind of going off what you said, I don't really mm-hmm. think him and Dak had that chemistry.
Zeke and Dak work
and
well,
that wasn't going to work, and Dez wasn't happy, you know, right. So that's why I'm saying I really like seeing him go to mm-hmm. the Niners, and who's the team that has a lot of salary cap space? The 49ers.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. 49ers.
So...
Do you think it comes down to
and I'm not just saying this because that's my other team. So I was a cheerleader okay. for the Niners and the Cowboys. So those are both my teams. So I'm not just saying that, people, because I want to see Dez in another uniform that's mine so then I can still be a fan.
Right, sure.
But I do see yeah. him, that being a good fit.
Sure.
And John Lynch, the GM for the Niners, is not speaking a lot, but that's what they do. You know, yeah. he's not that kind of, you know, some teams put it out there that they want this guy.
They're silent. Like right. when they got Garoppolo, yeah. I didn't, like, it was one of those things, just like Dez being cut, where you check your phone and you kind of have to check it again
right.
because you don't really think that it happened.
Oh, I didn't even...
Oh,
yeah.
It's such a shock. So
I was floored because I, was told by so many people, you know, with the Cowboys, you know, the yeah. ownership from Michael Irvin to, you know, so many different people inside the organization who said, no, Dez isn't going anywhere. They will figure it out.
Sure.
But they say that with everyone, though. That's the thing. They say that with every single player.
Well, and when he left, when he walked out the door, he said to Jerry, I will see you 2 times a year. So that's, but that was more of like the revenge, you know.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, he's going to want a team.
He plays with his, he plays with his heart. And mm-hmm. when you play with your heart, you want revenge on the team mm-hmm. that traded
right.
you.
And he's a little bit, we all know how certain players are, a little sensitive. That's, you know, he feels, you know, now sure. like, okay, I've got this chip on his shoulder, which I love when a player has a chip on their shoulder going into that season.
It works. It's just, I don't know, because I heard a lot about. I'll talk a little biasly here. I'm a Packers fan.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry for you.
I mean, I'm sorry for me now, but like I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah,
like I'm sorry.
Especially when you know my Niners and Cowboys.
Yes. So, and I was thinking a lot about. Okay, well, we just cut Jordy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
What if Dez were to come to the Green Bay Packers?
Right.
And then I thought about. Well, no, that wouldn't work because of the history. For a guy like Dez, who plays with his heart, to come to a team that came back on them this season, that Mason Crosby field
right.
goal,
and
50-plus yards.
And Dez caught it, you know. So maybe, how funny would that be?
All right.
But how funny would that be? Mm-hmm. But even the NFL said that Dez caught it. We all know the ruling now on that. But how funny would that be
it would
now?
Be, I think it would be very funny.
You know, it's kind of a funny story.
I think it would be interesting. But it just, it's the history. Mm-hmm. It's like, Mason Crosby went over and, kick for you guys. Like, you just right. wouldn't like it.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, though, because I just think at this point there's a lot of teams have shown interest in Dez.
And he's they're already, going to.
And he has said no.
He's
like,
an amazing
The Bills, the Saints, there's certain teams, and he's already said, I'm not interested.
Right.
So he's still going to have his pick of where he wants to go.
So where does he want to? What's the leading team?
Well, he did mention the Niners.
Okay.
He did mention mm-hmm. Philly. He did mention... the Saints. And then he said no to the Saints. He went back and forth.
Okay.
He would be good. I'm sorry, but he would be really good on the Saints with Drew Brees.
Oh, I know.
He would be, because, I mean, look at Brandon Cooks on that team. He was great. I think Dez would be great on the Saints.
Yeah. So there are some options, you know, that he has, and it'd be interesting to see where he lands.
I hope he picks the chemistry, because that's going to be where he'll be set apart, is the chemistry with the other players.
Right. And then I do see him staying. I would say he stays in the NFC, though. So
I kind of like to see the revenge if he stays in the NFC.
Right.
Just to one of those teams.
Or is it a flip-flop, and Dez goes to the Giants, and, you know, Odell
OBJ.
Goes to the Cowboys, mm-hmm. or does Dez say, "Hey,
sure,
Odell, I'll go with you. I'll be the number two receiver." I don't see him ever wanting to be number two, so I don't know. There's a lot of different scenarios that could happen, but it's exciting.
It is.
Know, I mean, I'm starting now trying to
a little
to
bit
think
of drama. Of, we love it. We love the drama.
I'm over, like, my depression now. I'm starting to just hope to, you know, he ends up with the Niners.
Yeah, new slate. Well, there you go. That would be a kind of a clean slate.
Right. What else is going on back in news? Especially.
So good.
NHL, which, yes. Do you have Kings earrings on?
I do. You got it.
And a Kings shirt on. You've got, okay. You've got all your rally stuff on. This is pretty funny.
I do. I have my Kings shirt on and my earrings.
You're very positive, though, that they're going to get out of this.
I have
one thing. Because I'm hearing no.
I have one thing to say.
What?
2014, people, because they were down 3-0 to the San Jose Sharks.
And I actually went to one of those games. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so to me, and again, I worked for the team for both Stanley Cups. This team is resilient. This team has nothing to lose. They play hard. They fight hard. They had one of the best games they've ever played in game three, I'm sorry. And it just came down to composure for the Knights, which is why they took it.
So what do they need to do to beat the Knights?
They need to keep playing their physical hockey, which is what they did all of game three. It just came down to they have this tradition where they, you know, they lose a goal or their team scores and they just get in their heads, and they need to not get in their heads. They're going to come back tonight playing so hard. I'm so excited. I can't wait. But
and that game is in Vegas?
It's in LA. Game four. They have to win tonight.
So the home crowd needs to be.
Well, and Staples Center is one of the loudest buildings.
It's amazing. Going to a Kings game there and just.
It's fun.
It's so fun. I went to the.
Even though I'm Sharks fan.
I know you are. But, okay, well, so we'll go into that. So if you've lived in a cave or under a rock, the Sharks, you guys, 3-0. The Ducks have lost three games. They are in a do-or-die situation tomorrow. So, I mean, we could lose LA and
LA
Ducks in 2 days.
And it'd just be just like the NBA. Yeah. No teams.
I'm not going to go there.
I think that the Kings will definitely win tonight. I'm not sure how I feel about the Ducks. I know you're a Kings fan.
Yeah, I'm a Kings fan.
But
I'm
all about SoCal hockey.
Sorry, Ducks fans. I can't.
I know.
Like, I know they're SoCal, but I can't.
They're a good organization, though. They're a great playoff team. But this is just proof in the pudding that San Jose has had kind of a lackluster season.
Right.
And they just played playoff
hockey. They flipped that switch, which is... Yeah. And they made it to the Stanley Cup final a couple years ago. So they... Yeah. And they have the team to do so.
They have the ingredients, absolutely.
So what else is going on in hockey, though?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've been in Western Conference land, but the East is just happening the way it is. The Washington Capitals, one of the best teams in regular season, down two games again. They just can't. They can't seem to get the recipe for the playoffs. So, do you know anything about the Caps?
Yeah, I don't know. Talk like the average NHL fan. I know Ovechkin hasn't. It's just they're a team. I know Brian Holpe is the other team.
Yeah,
there we go. Look at me go.
Hockey. Look at you go,
talking
David.
That hockey. But. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I have no idea what to say about them, their shortcomings. They should be winning these games.
Yeah.
And, like, a team, they remind me a lot, kind of, just based on, like, star player of, like, the Pens.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pens, I know, had that great game against the Flyers. Mm-hmm. And the Flyers came back and had that great game. Mm-hmm. And then the Pens came back and had that great game. So, they're not
That's
out.
A 2-1 series as well.
But that's a 2-1 series.
The Pens are also so disciplined when it comes to playoffs.
Oh,
It's like NBA.
Right.
It's
so
very
it doesn't
NBA.
Matter... How well you do during the regular season. It's a clean slate.
Oh, yeah. Playoffs are always totally different.
Exactly.
It's a totally different stage.
So
okay, and you're going to the game tonight?
I'm 98% going to the game tonight.
Let's go.
So I'll find
Please
out after the show's over.
I know. Kings. Well, like, we need it.
I got to be there with my fans.
Yeah, and I don't know.
It's going to be so good.
Even though I root for the Sharks, I actually do like the Kings because the Kings are really good in the community, especially with animals in the military. So I always
They are huge on charitable.
And I think we have our guest on, David.
Guys.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? You land safely in San Antonio?
I did. I'm here.
Good. How's it going over there already?
It's hot.
That's good.
So, David, we'll get right into this. You know, before we, you know, talk about, since you're in San Antonio, before we talk about Cavs stuff, what is the real deal on Kawhi Leonard? I mean, is this it for him with the Spurs? Is what's going on with this injury? And kind of elaborate on this for maybe what you can tell us.
Well, I don't know that it's over between them. They obviously are going to have some significant work to do when the season's over. I think it seems to me both sides are kind of in agreement that he probably should stay away from the team while, you know, the playoffs are going on, because if he's not playing for whatever reason, it just becomes a huge distraction.
Right.
So He, you know, he's not here. He's not in San Antonio. He's not going to be in San Antonio. And, you know, during this series, I'm pretty sure, and I doubt even if they were to come back, I'd be surprised if he came back at all. So they're going to have to do some repairs because there's obviously been a major kind of schism between the two sides this year. Now, that doesn't mean it's unfixable, because if you remember a year ago about this time, just about everybody who was supposedly smart in the NBA said that they were going to trade LaMarcus Aldridge, they're going to get rid of him, their relationship was irreparable, and there's nothing they could do. And, you know, he winds up having maybe his best season ever and has become a real leader. So I'm not going to sit here, you know, week, months before free agency and say there's absolutely no chance they can repair the relationship. But it's going to take some work, and it's going to probably take both sides kind of having a real kind of honest accounting of themselves and what it is they want and how they're willing to accomplish those things. And if, you know, the other person involved in this is the person that can help them get to what they want, you know? And so the Spurs are going to have to be real honest with themselves, and I think Kawhi's going to have to be honest with himself. I don't think it has anything to do with his quad. Let's put it that way. I think what's going on between these two has nothing to do with the injury that he suffered. I think it has to do more with whose vision is going to win out here.
Yeah, and seeing Pop in his presser yesterday, David, he seems pretty upset. Like, he doesn't even want to discuss Kawhi. Obviously, they're in the playoffs. They don't want a distraction, but you can tell Pop is not in his corner at all in the situation.
Well, I think that, you know, look, everybody, you know, in the at this time of year, especially if you're in the playoffs, you want to win. You want, you're a competitor. This is the highest level of competition. And I, you know, the Spurs, without Kawhi Leonard, have a very difficult time, will have a very difficult time winning any playoff series. You know, with Kawhi Leonard, they have a chance to win any playoff series. So I think, you know, the frustration, if it is there, is obvious, I think, you know, because Kawhi is one of the 10 best players in the league. And you could make an argument he's one of the 5 best players in the league when he's healthy and playing. Nobody is a better two-way player than he is. Nobody. There's nobody in the league that's a better two-way player than Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, he is an elite-level defensive player and has really kind of improved his game every year he's been in the league. And so they, you know, with him, they have a chance to go far, and without him, they don't have a chance to do very much. And I think that would certainly lead to frustration on the part of a franchise that's kind of used to competing for championships.
Right. Sure. Switching to the Heat, D Wade passed Larry Bird for 10th all time playing scoring list. Do we see a new D Wade, like a rejuvenated Dwayne Wade out there?
I guess Gabrielle doesn't think he's rejuvenated, right? She seems to.
I mean, is there a lot more left in the tank? Operating for him.
No, I mean, I think he had a great night last night. No question, he was the old D Wade, not old D Wade, but the old D Wade, and played very well. The challenge for anybody once they get to the level and the age that Dwayne has is, can you repeat that? You know. That's going to be the challenge going forward. And the thing that's in his favor, when you're in the playoffs, obviously you get all these days off in between games. You don't have any back-to-backs. The travel is very limited. And so he will have ample opportunity physically to prepare himself. I don't think there's any doubt mentally he knows what to do. It's just a matter of whether he can execute, you know, at a certain age. It was great. I think, You know, Steve Kerr said this last night, you know, when you win a game one easy, game two becomes a nightmare for the team that won game one.
Because
just human tendency is just kind of relax and say, we got this. You know, we beat him, we killed him in game one, we're going to kill him again in game two. And you don't bring the juice, and the other team does, because they know they have to win game two. And so you saw that last night with Miami and with San Antonio. Even though they lost game two, San Antonio played much harder and much better than they did in game one. And so you know that's coming. The problem for Miami is that even though they broke Philly's win streak and it was a big win and it gives them a great chance in this series, you get that monster Embiid chomping at the bit to play, and at some point Philly's going to have to let him go, you know, and I think maybe game three.
What was funny is, did you see Kevin Hart and Dwayne Wade, David, going back and forth, kind of the little trash talk that they're doing? Is that kind of gotten D-Wade kind of pumped up and ready?
Well, I would say this. You know, the great players don't need much motivation, right?
Right,
so they
right.
find something, you know, they take something, any piece of fuel, and use it. And maybe that was it for Dwayne last night. You know, it could have
right.
been. They motivate themselves so fast and without much at all, and they can really kind of pump themselves up to another level. And if that got him going, then that would not surprise me, because that's what great players do. They sometimes create slights that aren't even there so that they can get themselves jacked up to play. So if Kevin Hart was talking a little junk to him and that got Dwayne going, then yeah, I could see that. I could see that, because that's what great players just need, a little bit.
A little bit,
sure.
Right.
Really, yeah. David speaking, one David to another. Just I know you're in San Antonio, but jumping over to a different city there. The Houston game in the Houston series, we saw that first game. If I'm Houston, Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets, should I be worried that if Harden did a little worse and Karl-Anthony Towns did a little better, we could have lost to an 8 seed?
Well, you know, it's the playoffs. I mean, anybody comes to anybody. I mean, it's the playoffs. These are all good teams. And so nothing should surprise you at this level. You know, a team like Minnesota's got nothing to lose, so they're going to play free and easy, and they're going to play loose. And nobody expects them to win anyway, so they can just kind of play, and they have no pressure on them. The pressure was getting into the playoffs for Minnesota because they hadn't been in so long. So now that they're here, they're just going to – that nobody has any sense that they're going to beat Houston, so they can just kind of play and play with the wind at their back, sort of. So, you know, that's a problem for Houston. But look, Houston's a better team. So, I mean, if Houston plays the way Houston plays, the way they played all season, they're going to beat Minnesota. They're just better. So it's a matter of Houston picking up its own game and executing a little bit better than they did in game one. But still, even though they didn't even play all that well, they still won the game. And that's the only thing that matters in the playoffs, is winning the game. Mm-hmm. What you can't do is lose games that you should win in the playoffs.
Oh, for sure.
And they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, believe me, I've seen my fair share of losing the games. Mm-hmm. You gotta win in the playoffs. But I kind of want to switch over to Paul George. Was a guy we saw all season, especially last season and seasons before in his career, be a great player. But this season kind of playing under that system, a little not what we wanted. But now in the playoffs, dropping 30-plus, winning that game versus Utah, is this, in your opinion, do you think this is a playoff Paul George, or is Russell Westbrook going to come back and completely take over his team and just not allow them to go far?
You know, I think every game is different, and so you can't really kind of project towards the following game based on what happened before, because every team adjusts, and so... You know, Paul got off in game one. You know, Utah is going to do more to try to show him more bodies in game two, try to show him more length, try to let him finish over length, make him finish over length, make him get the ball out of his hands. And he knows that. So his natural proclivity is going to be, when he sees the double coming, he's going to move the ball instead of forcing stuff. So by design, and also kind of just by instinct, someone who has a great offensive game in one playoff series tends to have not as great a offensive game in the next series, because there's just so much attention paid to him by the other team. So it's up to Westbrook and Carmelo, who played very well in game one, to make those shots. If Utah aggressively tries to get the ball out of Paul's hands or make him, finish over multiple bodies, and that's what a good team does. They understand what's going to come, and they anticipate, and they get the ball to the next guy. You saw that with Golden State last night. I mean, folks knew they were going to try to get the ball out of Durant's hands, and Durant just moved the ball, and Klay Thompson killed him. You know what I mean? So that's what good teams do. And so, again, it'll be up to the other guys to make shots.
Yeah.
Hey, David, Becky here. Question for you. How are we feeling about the Cavs? Now, that's a pretty big loss against Indiana, and now Indiana's firing back saying, well, we've been playing this way all year. And it's just now being highlighted. So, you know, are we to worry about this score, their first game?
If you're a Cavs fan, yeah, you should be worried.
Sure, sure.
You should be worried, because they've been a bad defensive team all year, and they continue to be a bad defensive team. And, Indiana is a very good executing offensive team. They move the ball. They get the ball to the right guy in the right spot. They've got a guy in Oladipo who's playing not just at a high level, but at an efficient level as well.
Yeah, sure.
Versatility.
So,
God.
Yeah. And Bogdanović is a guy who makes shots. He has great range. He can make shots. Sabonis has played very well for him. Turner. See, I think Turner, going into the series, I thought would be a problem for the Cavs because the Cavs' best lineup has been with Kevin Love at center. And most centers can't go out and guard Kevin Love out there because they're, most centers don't want to come out of the paint. But Miles Turner, with his length and his footwork, he's able defensively, I think, to guard Kevin better or more effectively than most big men would be able to. And so that advantage that Cleveland has had over a lot of teams playing small, I don't think is great against a team like Indiana. So, but look, again, like I said before, the Cavs stunk the joint out in game one. They're going to play harder and better in game two, and they'll be at home. And so even though I know Indiana is going to talk about we want to get greedy and everybody says that, but human nature, again, is we got the split. That's what we came here to do. Let's just get home and try to get these two wins at home.
Sure.
And they will try to win game two and they will play hard. But I suspect you'll see a much better effort from Cleveland in game two.
Sure.
Now, David, over and over again, you saw that Coach Lou kept saying, you guys need to be more aggressive. They need to have more intensity. Mm-hmm. They lacked intensity. Do you agree with that, that the only thing it was just being more aggressive, especially in the paint?
Well, you have to be better, too. I mean, it's the one, right. It's easy to say, be more aggressive, but you got to play better. You got to make
better. Yeah, I mean, he said aggressive so many times that presser, like four or five times, that's all he kept saying was aggressive.
Yeah. And, I understand he was in that game. Game one, Indiana dictated at both ends of the floor what was going to happen, and Cleveland was reacting. So I know what he's saying. You got to play downhill. You can't, especially offensively, you can't let the other team get you out of your comfort spots on the floor, the places where you want to go, and make you give the ball up, make you do things. You got to kind of assert your will. I think this is, look, LeBron, we all know how good LeBron is, and we all know that LeBron intellectually wants to move the ball, wants to pass the ball, but LeBron's got to not be intellectual in this series. I think LeBron's got to go out and go get 40.
Yeah. Right.
That's
true. But are the Cavs at that point where they're so cocky and so they know at any point they can just flip the switch, David, and they're not even worried about this loss at all?
No, I don't think that's true. I think that they have appropriate fear, as Greg Popovich likes to say, of their opponent. They just didn't play well. Again, sometimes you just don't play well. You just don't have a good game. Like, I'll go back to San Antonio. Game one, they didn't play well. It doesn't really matter what Golden State did. San Antonio didn't play well. Mm-hmm. In game two, they played a lot better. Now, they didn't win, but they played better, So that's that's kind of where you start with. So I don't think Cleveland's being arrogant or anything like that. I just think they're a flawed team.
I just don't
think they're very good defensively. And it's difficult for them to generate a lot of offense out of their defense. And that's how, in the playoffs especially, you have to score a lot of points off of defense because the other team's defense is usually pretty good in the playoffs. So you're not going to just walk the ball down and execute your offense and shoot 55-57% against a set defense. Where you can score, where you can create opportunities out of your defense off of turnovers, creating turnovers, forcing the other team to take bad shots, forcing them to take long shots, which leads to long rebounds, you get out and run. Well, Cleveland can't do any of that, or at least they haven't shown they can do any of that all season long. They don't generate turnovers out of their defense. They don't get stops out of their defense. So what happens is the other team scores a lot, and that means Cleveland's always taking the ball out of the basket. So, It's not conducive to them getting out and running. So that's why I'm saying LeBron has got to just from jump. He can't use the first quarter to get Kevin Love going or to maybe get a basket for Larry Nance or to see if George Hill can make a jumper. No, he's got to go attack the basket, I think, from the beginning of the game and set the tone that he's going to go get 40 tonight because he can. He's that good. He can go get 40 every night. And so he needs to do that. He needs to do that in game two, I think, for Cleveland to kind of right the ship a little bit.
And I think we will see that. But Lance Stephenson, I think he got in LeBron's head a little bit, David. A little bit.
Well, I don't know about that. I think Lance talks whether they're winning or losing. You know, he just happened to be winning the other night.
So. That's awesome.
It doesn't really compute. You know, it doesn't really. There's no correlation between Lance talking and whether the team's winning or losing.
Right.
He's talking anyway.
But so you do think though that the Pacers do have they are a good matchup because they do offensively and defensively on both sides of the ball. You know, they can't keep up though with the Cavs.
Oh no, no question. No, I think Indiana's a good team. Look, I was not just wrong about Indiana. I was loud wrong about Indiana. You know, after the trade with Paul George last summer, I thought they were going to be, you know, awful. They'd be a terrible team. And they weren't awful. They were a very, very good team. And you know, at both ends of the floor. And they're going to be, and they're formidable. I mean, they are a worthy opponent. And it's got a lot better. To get back to the series, I think that the Pacers are they've got that chip on their shoulder. They don't think anybody respects them, and they can use that fuel throughout this series. Again, I think when Turner is on the floor and healthy and able to contribute at both ends, it just makes they are a very, very formidable team. Because they can score and they can defend and they play hard, you know. And so some nights they miss shots, but they always usually play hard. And so that's going to be, you know, that's something that Cleveland is going to have to match in terms of that team's intensity on the floor. And then, again, I just think LeBron's going to have to go take over this series.
So many people were upset when Paul George left the Pacers. But right now, David, Oladipo or Paul George, who do you take right now?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, it's a fair question. Just because a body of work over a long period of time, I still think Paul George, when he's fully engaged, is so disruptive a force at both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. And that's not a criticism of Victor Oladipo at all. I like Victor a lot. Victor's one to master like I am, you know, the greatest high school in the history of the United States. So I'm always supporting Victor. you know, I think Paul George has got a level of outstanding play that he's shown throughout many years in the playoffs where he's put up monster numbers. I just think he has, you know, more experience maybe in postseason play and excelling in postseason play. But, you know, Victor this year, there's not much difference between him this year. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Good stuff. Thank you so much. Well, we want to, before we let you go, play a fun little game of this or that. Are you ready to play with us?
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so it's rapid fire. I'm sure you've heard of it, but I'm going to ask you this or that, and then you'll let us know. So Olympics or FIFA World Cup?
Ooh. Olympics.
Think about that.
Olympics. Okay, well, you've covered them, so that's pretty spectacular.
Yes.
Now, if you were to attend any sporting event, would you rather go as a fan or a reporter?
Oh, wow. Any sporting event?
Any sporting event.
I guess as a reporter, just because that's what I've been doing for so long.
Sure.
Good choice. Good choice.
A different perspective. All right. On the topic of NBA, Cavs or Golden State? East
this
or West?
Year?
Yeah. Well, East or West. Come on. Golden State.
Yeah,
all right.
Golden
all right.
State.
Yeah.
So record player or radio station?
Old school. Old school.
Old school with these questions.
I love it.
Wow.
I know.
That's a good one. You know, I'm more nostalgic about record players. I have more control over what I put on the record player. So
yeah.
I'll go record player.
Good
stuff.
Y'all
don't even know what a record player is. Why?
Well, on the topic of arenas, since you attend so many events, if you were walking through the concourse, would you get nachos or a hot dog?
Hot dog. It's hard to mess up a hot dog.
No That's hesitation. Right. Hot dog.
I love it. Okay, and since you travel so much, do you prefer plane or boat? Do you like cruises or being on a plane?
Oh, my God.
He doesn't take a boat anywhere.
Anything's better, anything's better than being on a plane. I prefer walking to being on a plane, so I'll take the boat.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for playing. What a delight to have you on our show today.
Yes, thanks, David. And you're covering where? You're in San Antonio, so you're covering the rest of that series. And then where do you go after that? Do you
correct.
Know? Do you know where you're?
Don't know yet. Yeah, no, they haven't told us yet. It always depends on who wins in the first round. But we do have the Western Conference Finals, so my guess is they'll stay out west, but I don't know that for sure.
Perfect. Okay, well, I hope to run into you. It's always good to see you, and, you know, you're just so fabulous, so knowledgeable, and we love having you. So thank you so much, David, for your time.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
Thanks.
He's good, huh?
Oh, so good.
So informative. Good stuff.
He knows everything. That's why.
That's why he does it for a living, yeah.
Yeah, I had to have him on. He was good. I think it's fun when we do the this or that,
David,
because it kind of throws them off because they're so, like, in the zone about, like, you know, talking X's and O's, and then we get them hot dogs or nachos.
It's
and they're
just
like,
fun.
Oh,
it gives us it gives a personal side to each guest, and we get to learn something new. Yeah. The fans get to learn something new. So
yeah, it's good. And I agree with them. I mean, God, but I do think that series, I mean, even let's just say LeBron and the Cavs win tomorrow, I still think there is
that's going to be
a hot
series.
I think it's going to go for a while. I think it's going
to go for a long while.
I don't know how long, but I still think it's going to be very competitive, you know, because I was actually shocked that Indiana took that first game.
Yeah, me too.
At home, on the road.
On the road in Cleveland against Cleveland against LeBron James.
Right.
I mean, what more can be said
but
about
I think
LeBron
they,
James?
I think the Cavs came out flat and just were like, lackadaisical about what it is. And I just think if you go out there and you're LeBron James and you do what LeBron does and is a monster,
well, they played,
they'll bury him.
And they played game 83 instead of playing a game,
they gave up.
First game
of
the
playoffs. Oh, they gave up for sure because they thought, okay, this is our first game. We can go at them next game. But I just...
They weren't too concerned.
You need to see more, like he was talking about... You need to see LeBron getting 40 and 5 assists versus 20 and 10 assists.
Right.
Sure.
That's what you need. You need LeBron because LeBron's a player that when he wants to score, he's gonna. You're not stopping LeBron entire rest of the NBA. Just let him do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
But if he, but that's the thing. If he gets too selfish, then you're gonna have a problem because with every single like, I know Russell Westbrook. He's a player that can. Rather go for a
triple-double
than go for a win.
Yeah,
and that
individual
does not,
stats.
They have players, but it doesn't help them win championships. So
you got to spread the ball around.
Yeah, and LeBron could just get too selfish.
But the other thing too that there's a lot of bench guys that this is their first playoff experience, and a lot of them don't understand. Like, wow, you know, you look at Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson and some of those guys. These kids are like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a whole. You know, they're. I'm going to say the nerves got to them a little bit too.
Sure.
Yeah. So we're going to see, you know, a difference in that, and they got to make sure to feed the ball to Kevin Love.
Caleb's
got to. He's got to be demanding that ball, and he's got to get it and be just more aggressive.
He's
got to
be Kevin Love.
Yes,
really.
And so there's a whole lot of things that I think we'll see differently in Game Two, and it could be, you know, just they could bury him.
It'll be
a blowout.
It'll be a fun series.
I'm excited for it.
But before we go, I want to talk a little bit about Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah, we do need to. That's big in the news right now.
Yes, and I'm a huge boxing fan.
Sure.
So, and I love Freddie Roach. And so to see that, you know, especially now
since 2001, they've been together.
Yes, and to hear that Freddie did not even know what was going on until the Manny had his press conference. That's a little bit, I would take that personally. Like,
sure.
Because he's kind of been like a father to him. And
sure.
We get it that Manny doesn't want to come to the States anymore to train, but it's still, I don't know, I think it was a little...
Tact. There's no tact in that. But Manny's fighting it and saying that his people let his people know. So it's hard to know what's the truth.
And the big thing is that we have been hearing now that Manny was really upset that with some of the things that Freddie Roach said after his last fight that you know that he can't be politician, Mr. President of the Philippines, and also try to be world class fighter. So I think those were some comments that Pacquiao and his team were not happy about, and that might be a little bit. You know how people are just so sensitive and just that kind of, you know, affected him.
Yeah.
And so now, right now, it looks like Boo Boy, who is one of his guys you see in his corner a lot.
It's
like I want to say it's like his homeboy that he's had for, you know,
ever. They're like family.
Yeah, he's going to be training him. That is what they're saying, that he will be.
How do you feel
about
that,
for the Matisse fight? I don't know.
How do you think boxing fans feel about it?
You still need to have that one guy in the corner, like a Freddie Roach, that can actually tell him what to do in his corner when, he, you know, Boo Boy knows. I'm not saying he doesn't know boxing, but do you know what I mean? Like, you still need to have like a real
expertise of
you know, and you look at like, you know, Mayweather Sr. or Garcia, like, you know, those trainers, they would be the ones that would be maybe a best fit for Manny, but at the same time, like, you know, they're not.
What a move. What a move.
It's crazy.
If Manny ever fights Lomachenko, that couldn't happen with Garcia. And then, so I don't know. There's a lot of things that, you know, I just think he has to have a real trainer is what I'm trying to get
at. Yeah, because you need, like, it's in those moments mm-hmm. where you just feel down and you have your guy mm-hmm. come and say, like, you got this. Just mm-hmm. go out there, do what we did.
Well, they need the poise of yeah. he needs the poise of Roach. And also they've won so many titles together. Yes, Roach has been inducted in the Hall of Fame.
You need that.
Yeah.
As a fighter, to get that energy, because boxing is it's a sport of skill mm-hmm. for sure, but it's also a sport of heart. Mm-hmm. Right. It's one of the biggest sports of heart mental. And will. Mm-hmm. And if you have a guy that can get you, that can wheel you to a victory,
yeah,
and you just get rid of him like that, it's not
right.
And
I'm not saying that, you know, Manny is a professional and he maybe he can do this without a sure. trainer. You know,
well, he's been amazing. There,
but I still think everyone needs mm-hmm. that one. You know what I mean? You do. Oh, no, Tom Brady exactly needs Belichick. I mean, at the end of the day, you just need
someone.
So. The Matisse fight, maybe he can get by, which is having Boo Boy and a couple of his guys in his corner. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We will see.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
How that
do you think
works out? And that does he go back to Freddie?
I was just gonna say, do you think Freddie will be okay with that?
And
after
Freddie's
this
been
break?
So taking the high road, saying whatever he wants to do, you know, I'm always gonna be in his corner and support mm-hmm. him, and he basically was very diplomatic to what he said, because he does feel that Manny's like a son, mm-hmm. but I don't think he's. You know he's pretty hurt.
I was just going to say, what happens after July?
16 years.
What happens after July if he's like, oh, I want you back? Is he going
right.
to be back in his corner? Like, I don't know. It's hard to know what will happen.
Yeah, we'll see. So we'll see. I'm a huge Pacquiao fan, so it's kind of like,
Who isn't? He's made such an impact.
I'm excited to see this welterweight, fight, too, with Matisse in July.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be rooting for Manny. I know everyone's like, he's done. You know, he's mm-hmm. older,
yeah,
but those hands, they're quick.
Yeah, it's going to be a good match for sure. Well, we'll keep up the news on that. Also, in other news, Brianna Daniels and the NASCAR World First African-American Female to be in the pit crew.
Wow.
Huge. Yeah, she was.
I did not know this.
Part of, on Friday and Saturday, she was in the pit crew. So
really?
Awesome. Yeah.
What? Whose team is
Woo!
This?
In NASCAR. So she was in the pits. It's a big deal.
But whose team is she in the pit for?
She was with Team Xfinity. And the driver.
Who's the driver?
We'll get back to you on the driver. But yeah, she had a pretty substantial weekend. So
that's huge.
Good stuff. Yeah, really good stuff.
And then you said you had stuff going on also with the WNBA. And, I'm bad about, I'll be honest.
Well,
I don't follow WNBA.
Draft. They have their draft on the 12th, I believe. So keep your eyes open. I guess there's a lot of moves that are happening. Some women that are going to be doing some big things. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this summer.
Right. Okay, so I guess, we have the games that are coming up tonight, Becky, which are?
All right, guys.
NBA.
NBA
playoffs. Games.
Yeah, let's get NBA up. We've got tonight, oh my gosh, Washington and Toronto. We've got Milwaukee and Boston, New Orleans and Portland. What do you
all
guys think
games.
On that?
All good games, yeah.
Who's going to take them?
All good, good games.
I'm going to say Toronto. I just think they're at home. It's a 1-8. I don't think Washington has that punch.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know what? I'm going to say the Bucks. Personally,
really?
I'm going to say the Bucks, yes, because personally, I do want the Bucks to go far. I like Bledsoe.
Yeah.
I like Antetokounmpo.
Okay,
that's my effort, his name.
Right. So but, you like the Bucks, but who's going to bet?
But no, I think they can because I think they're going to just take advantage of the shorthandedness of the Celtics, and I don't think Rozier can do it every single night.
Yeah. Mm. That's a lot on his shoulders right
if
now.
Because Rozier dropping 23 last game. He's not doing that. They're not going to win.
It's still crazy how well the Celtics are playing, though, with having so many injuries. And
from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
From the beginning of the season when Hayward went out,
Hayward
still play great.
That's why you always wonder sometimes. It's amazing to see the chemistry when sometimes a star player goes down. But
how about Portland, though, in New Orleans?
That's a toss-up right there.
I'm going to go New Orleans again.
I'm going to say Portland.
I got to stick by Portland, of course.
I don't think they're going to have another answer for Dame and CJ.
Sure.
I think they had an answer once, and I think Jrue Holiday played great defense, mm-hmm. but if he can't do that every single game,
but
they're not going to win.
But you're forgetting about AD, though.
But it's AD, but AD's dropping 35.
He's having to do everything right
but
now.
He's doing, but if you can't have a guy like that, because today's NBA is dominated by the guards and the shooters. It's no longer a centers and power forwards game.
No, it's you live by the three and die by the
That's
three.
Exactly.
No, it's so all about that. And right, you know, it's funny, speaking of that, teams that hit, let's see, who was the stats that I was given for the three? 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
Who makes with a team that makes more three pointers?
Wow!
Yeah.
And then also 9-1 with a 3-point percentage.
Sure.
Yeah,
you
sure.
live and die by the three.
It's so funny how much it's changed, though.
Yeah,
the game of basketball.
Because look at old players and some of the great big guys, centers like Bill Russell, Wilt, Kareem,
Shaquille,
centers. Yeah,
Duncan.
Of course.
Yeah.
And now it's much more of a guards game. You
David
don't see,
Robinson, yeah, it's totally
exactly.
changed.
You don't see mm-hmm. even the
Steph. He changed everything.
Yeah.
Steph did change everything. That's
even
for sure.
teams with like Cousins, like on the Pelicans,
right.
you don't see them getting the one seed because it's not a they don't have the guard to yeah. do so, even yeah. though they got the Twin Towers.
Yeah. yeah.
The new
That's
Twin
why
Towers,
it's crazy how much has changed. That's why yeah. and people like it. It's
exciting.
I love you know, the outside shooting. But we got to wrap this up.
We do. Well, hold on. I found the driver for Daniels.
Oh, yes.
She
Let
was
us know.
Cody War, which okay. is, I mean, right. she was on his car in Xfinity team.
That's
so
nice.
Go. Yeah, nice guy.
NASCAR.
We will be back next Tuesday, same time. Yeah. We have a surprise guest next week as well. So we will see you next week on the Weekly Pass here on AfterBuzz. I'm Bonnie Jill Laughlin at BJ Laughlin and at Bonnie Jill on Facebook and Instagram.
That's right. Where can they find you,
sir? Or they find me. I am David Bloom. You can find me at David H. Bloom on Instagram and Twitter. Come give me some.
That's right.
Make me feel better about the Clippers.
Thanks for joining us today. That was fun.
Let me know how good they are. Yeah, it was really fun. Thanks for having
Becky.
Me here.
You can find me on all social media at Becky Sotero. And also, please follow us on Twitter. Thank you for joining in on the chat. Go Kings, go.
Yes, and thank you to David
Second
Aldridge,
that.
Our amazing guest from TNT. We will see you guys next week. Until then, see ya.
Thanks, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.